Great. Okay, well, it is 4:01 p.m. Calling to order the regular meeting of the City of Emeryville Transportation Sustainability Committee on March 10th, 2026. Can we take a roll?
F?
Yeah. Member David Mora?
Here.
And Chair Matthew Sollier?
Here. I don't see any members of the public in the room. Did we receive any online comment cards, Jeff?
Yeah, we did. We did receive one. I sent it to you prior.
Okay.
Happy to read that out loud if you want.
Oh, it was attached with the agenda a few days ago, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, yes.
That was the one.
Okay. But yes. No need to read it out loud since we received it and reviewed it ahead of time. So with that, we can move to approval of the February 10th, 2026 regular meeting action minutes.
So moved.
I'll second that. Can we take a roll?
Member David Mora?
Aye.
Chair Matthew Solomon?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Wonderful. Now we're into our action items. I've got a couple. So starting with our curb approvals, 5.1 green curb at 5770 Plato Street. Never actually said that word out loud. Ohana Cannabis with Ryan.
All right. I'm Ryan O'Connell, Senior Civil Engineer in Public Works Department. We have an item today for a green curb request at 5770 Peladew Street. This is in front of the Ohana Cannabis business. There is a request to convert an existing commercial loading zone, yellow curb, to a limited duration parking zone, green curb, to the proposal converts approximately 40 feet of yellow curb to green curb, matching the current conditions that are immediately to the south and extending that existing paid parking zone. So per the EMC, the Transportation Sustainability Committee is authorized to designate any street and off-street parking facility as a limited duration parking zone. So staff received this request from Nasser Azimi, the owner of Ohana Cannabis. The request to convert the 40 feet of commercial loading zone was to promote better turnover for the spaces along this block. As you can see in the graphic right here, this is the yellow curb that is going to be converted, hovering the mouse over right now. So in 2022, Ohana Cannabis originally did request this yellow curb to be put in. They no longer need the yellow curb as they have changed their business practices. They requested originally during COVID and how they were doing curbside service. They see a better fit for a green curb at the moment. And staff goes along with the recommendation to convert it to green curb. And we are recommending, to convert it to the pay to park zone, just to extend it in that same zone from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. So this action does not propose to modify those hours or days. And that is all for this item. Any questions?
Or any questions on
that? None from me.
Does the meter infrastructure, is there already a meter there? Or will any other sort of construction work be required to make that happen besides painting?
The meter is already there. No work is needed except for painting the curb green.
Excellent. Any public comment on item 5.1? Welcome.
How are you all doing? Awesome. I'm Nasser Azimi, and I own Ohana Cannabis. Basically, the reason for the change in the curb is due to customer demand. A lot of customers no longer really do the curbside pickup, and they prefer that particular space converted so they could actually use it. So that's really the premise of it, and I would appreciate your approval. All right, thank you.
Appreciate it, thank you. If no other public comment in the room, any online comment cards related to this item?
No comments on this item.
With that, we'll close public comment for 5.1. Move to discussion or motion.
Seems like a reasonable update. keeping up with the times and post-pandemic. So I'll move approval for the item.
Totally agree. I will second that. Can we take a quick roll?
Member David Moore?
Aye.
Chair Matthew Song?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thanks for coming.
All right. Excellent. With that, we'll move to 5.2, green and yellow curb approvals on Hollis Street between Powell and Stanford, with Ryan again.
All right. Now, this request is coming from the Public Works Department, who has just recently substantially completed a project on Hollis Street. The request is to convert existing no parking zone on Hollis Street on the east side between Stanford Avenue and Powell Street. The proposal converts 160 feet of red curb no parking zone into green curb timed parking 2-hour zone. Per the EMC, the Transportation Sustainability Committee is authorized to designate any street or publicly controlled off-street parking facility as a limited duration parking zone. Historically, this segment of Hall Street between Stanford Avenue and Powell Street has had red curb no parking zone restrictions. The construction performed on Hollis Street as part of the Sustainable Streetscapes project has reconfigured the lanes and curb alignments in the area of the subject property and has made parking allowable in the area and carved out the space for that. On the western side of the block, the slip lane was removed from the Powell-Hollis intersection, and a curb extension was constructed at the Hollis-Stanford Avenue intersection. At the April 2024 Transportation Committee meeting, in an approximately 60-foot yellow curb commercial loading zone at the southeastern end of Hollis Street segment for the benefit of the businesses on the ground floor of Park on Powell Building and a lengthened outdoor seating and sidewalk cafe space at the northeastern end of the segment were approved for incorporation into the sustainable streetscapes design. Part of this earlier TC approval was to also install wayfinding signage to the free parking provided on the site for visitors to the ground floor merchants. Since the original TC approval, staff has met and corresponded with the Park on Powell management staff about the installation of the parking restrictions, including the proposed green curb. The timed restriction will encourage parking turnover during the day and promote visitors to future commercial tenants in the area. The proposed 160 feet of green curb, 2-hour timed parking will begin at the newly constructed curb extension at the southeast corner of Powell Hollis Streets and end at the previously approved 60-foot yellow curb commercial loading zone, as shown in the following aerial photograph. And the 2-hour time restriction will run from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday, excluding holidays. Staff recommends installing the approximate 160 feet of green curb and associated signage. The recommendation will create approximately 7 parking spaces, as shown in the aerial photograph. Here is the photograph. And here is the curb extension that was built with the sidewalk cafe area and that concrete and the previously approved yellow curb area of 60 feet. And here's another graphic showing from a bird's eye view. And I think that is about it, if you have any questions.
Thank you, Ryan. Any questions, Member Moore?
Just one question. I know a lot of those bottom units are, looks like they're being converted to residential. I guess there's still some businesses there, so the stated use case still applies. I was just wondering if that plays into it at all.
The renovated units, at least from what is observable from the exterior of the building, appear to be limited to the frontage that is the drop-off zone. And then from there on after, it still appears to be intended for regular commercial use.
Got it. Thank you.
And actually, on the follow-up, the conversation we had with them this week, all the frontages along this, like I'll show with my mouse, these are staying as businesses and not being converted into condos. So from this to the north will stay as businesses. Not as converted into condos or apartments.
Got it. Thank you.
And just to confirm, you mentioned in April 2024 the approval of the cafe space, and that's what the recommendation today is consistent with the previous approvals. We're now just, if the project is finalized, so now we can make those changes. Is that accurate?
Yeah, the only thing that was not approved in the prior action was green curb. So they approved a sidewalk cafe space and a yellow loading zone. So instead of having the sidewalk cafe space be in parking area, in the prior action, we built out a curb extension that just built out the cafe space instead of having a cafe space in a parking area.
Gotcha.
So we had room to just build it out in concrete instead. So that's what we ended up doing instead.
Okay, gotcha. Excellent. If no further questions, we can move to public comment. I don't see any members of the public in the room. Jeff, do we receive any comment cards on this item?
No public comment on this item.
Okay. Further comments or motion?
I'll move approval.
I will second that. Take a quick roll.
Member Moore?
Aye.
Chair Matthew Solomon?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Excellent. Thank you, Ryan, for those. Now move to item 5.3, 2026 citywide speed limit changes with Terrace or city staff.
It'll be me today.
Excellent. I'll let you take it from there.
All right. So we're here again. It's a follow-up to our February item to talk 2026 citywide speed limit changes and go over our engineering and traffic survey recommendations. So just as a recap, why we're doing this, I'll go over this a little bit quicker than last time. So our speed limits must be supported by an ENTS study. The ENTS study that is behind all this data that I'm showing today will be attached to our council report that we plan once we get the recommendation. It will be finalized and attached to the council report that gets approved and makes the municipal code changes necessary to enact the speed limit changes. Our ENTS focuses on Assembly Bill 43 and the flexibility that was granted to the city in setting speed limits. We reassessed some of the speed limits that we set in 2025 using that AB 43 criteria. And then additionally, there's some new speed limit setting laws and kind of regulations that took effect this year that we took into effect this year, and then that we applied to our city streets as well. So you'll see that reflected in our tables and our graphics today. So AB 43 does allow for a permanent 15 and 20 mile per hour speed limits. It allows 20 and 25 mile per hour speed limits on roads adjacent to business districts, and then also prioritize safety for pedestrians and bicyclists on safety corridors and streets with high ped and bike activity. Here's our new California manual for setting speed limits that was revised in March 2025. This is what allows a local agency to establish speed limits without an ENTS study on roads classified as local in the California road system without conducting an engineering traffic survey. One caveat to this is that when our police department is in court defending our tickets that we give out to people that are speeding, there is still a need for justification for why the speed limit was set at a certain speed limit. So we do want to have speed limits established in an ENTS survey to give us a little bit additional backing to help us out in those cases. So what we did was we surveyed 19 street corridors, and three of the street corridors, that is an outdated one. I will take that out, ignore that bullet. But we did survey 19 street corridors, and we reviewed each of them with AB 43 eligibility. And we also reviewed the Emeryville Greenway to do bicycle speed limits, looking at pedestrian safety and looking at the usage patterns, policy guidance, and peer trail practices to set a speed limit. So this is reflecting what we did last month and coming back with what we have now changed in our report. So the existing speed limits in many of the 19 segments were 25 miles per hour on 17, as you see in the green in many of the streets. The only two that were at 30 miles per hour were Adeline Street and Powell Street. Our new proposed results are as shown. So I will go through these. Powell Street is the only one at 25 miles per hour along with Emory Street. All of the bike boulevards are now at 15 miles per hour. That is the major change from February to today. All of the streets that are adjacent to parks are also at 15 miles per hour. So you'll see 62nd, 61st, Stamford, Doyle Street, 59th, which is near, you know, Bike Boulevard, but also near Community Garden. And you'll see 47th, 45th, Bike Boulevards, Overland, 62nd, Bike Boulevards, all 15 miles per hour. All the remaining streets are local roadways, or they had justification for being a high bike ped generator or in a business district like at the public market, and were justified for being 20 miles per hour, either through the speed survey or through an AB 43 5 mile per hour reduction. So they're set at 20 miles per hour. Our Emeryville Greenway is one that we set at 12 miles per hour. I'll have another slide a little bit later stating why, and that was also some of the justification we had in our February presentation, but I do have a slide for that. So we do have one action item coming back from last February, but we have an action item proposed to you based on our staff recommendation, is a motion to forward the proposed speed limits to City Council and recommend the City Council enact an ordinance adopting the Associated Engineering Traffic Survey. And then as a request from February, we wanted to additionally look at trail etiquette signs along the Greenway. So we brought forward some example signs, and we wanted to go through these and kind of have kind of an open discussion about these and kind of see what you guys like and just go through these. We'll flip back through them. I just want to kind of just go through them a little bit quicker. And we have some messaging that can be on pamphlets. I threw one up on the desk over there from East Bay Parks. That's one of them. So postcards that could be sent out, you know, along the Greenway to addresses or around citywide. And an action item, proposed action item for you all for trail etiquette signs that we could possibly have the Public Works Department implement new trail etiquette signage on sections of the Greenway as part of an upcoming sustainable streetscape project or as part of our speed limit signage installation project. And I will leave it there of how you guys want to handle that. And available here for questions.
Thank you, Ryan. Any questions?
Just one question. It seems like the most open-ended part of the recommendations or direction that's being sought is the kind of like what arrangement of the trail etiquette signage is appropriate. We don't want to clutter the beautiful Greenway with this abundance of signs that then people will just start to tune out, because that's what happens when you just get overwhelmed by signage. So it seems like that's going to require a subsequent effort to kind of be, you know, space things out, pick effective signage. Is that something that can be, will that be like delegated to bike ped committee to make recommendations and pick between options, or is that something you're looking from us today?
We're happy to delegate it to BPAC if that's your recommendation, or we're happy to take your initial comments and have staff propose a final solution that they then implement, either whichever is preferred.
Thank you.
Excellent, thank you. And just BPAC has not commented on the signage piece yet.
No, they have not yet.
Okay, sounds good. Have they had a discussion about speed limits? I mean, I know that they've had discussion about speed limits in the past, but this specifically?
They have not yet, not until you, your committee has recommended the speed limits. We're waiting for that, and then we're going to give them your results.
Gotcha, okay, thank you. Any other questions?
None.
Okay, with that, let's open public comment. I don't see any members of the public in the room. Any online comment cards regarding this item?
No comments on this item.
Okay. Okay, let's open for discussion, and maybe let's take these action items separately, or do the first one, the speed limits first, and then we can talk about signage. Is that what
works for me? Yeah.
Okay. Any thoughts on, I know we had this discussion last time, so any further thoughts on action item number one?
So I still feel quite strongly, as I did last time. I do agree with the staff recommendation, and I do like the proposed speed limits. I think the one item that garnered the most conversation last time around was the 12 mile per hour on the greenway and whether or not it made sense to look at 15 or something like that. And there was something about the 12 that really stood out. It's kind of a unique speed limit. You don't see 12 on streets. So I think it draws people's attention to what I think is a reasonable safe speed, especially I know we're trying to be proactive with the increase in pedestrians and bikes. And really all it takes is one speeding e-bike to really make a lot of people uncomfortable there. I've been in that situation many times. Most e-bikes are courteous. They slow down. They, I think, have some sense of what good etiquette is. But others really kind of you'll feel the wind blow right by and, you know, you might be just glad you didn't accidentally just take one step to the left or right and get knocked down. Because I think once you start to get up to these speeds, even 15 miles per hour, I think it's hard for an e-bike to respond. And sometimes I think about there's pedestrian users, usually small children, who don't always follow a straight line and they're not always aware of what's coming up behind them. So I think some of the decision making that an e-bike rider might need to make, might really come down to how fast they're going. So I do really think the 12 miles per hour is a sound recommendation, and I do support that. And I'm prepared to make a motion to implement the speed limits as recommended.
Yeah, thanks, Member Mora. I just want to say thank you all for staff for the sort of taking this back and coming back with what I think is a map that sort of better reflects how we're hoping people use the streets. For also the education on sort of why this is important, obviously from a safety perspective, but how this sort of plays a role in city operations. So appreciate that. I think I'm still I perhaps feel a little less strongly on the greenway speed limit, but I think it's good to be proactive, and the reality is that this is not something that someone EPD is not going to be standing there sort of, oh, you're 13, you're 14. So I think that it is a reminder, I suppose, that people should be sharing the space. And, for those who are going way above that number, that'll be very obvious. And, we'll have some ability to take action if needed. So I'm prepared to second your motion if you make it.
Great. I'll make the motion.
All right. And I'll second the motion. So that's action item number one. I say let's take a vote on that, and then we'll move to action item number two.
All right, Member Mora?
Aye.
And Chair Solomon?
Aye.
Great. Motion passes.
Thank you. Okay. Moving to action item number two. Member Mora, any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I really like some of those signs. Could you actually go over to the first one? These ones, they seem clear, high contrast. They draw attention appropriately, especially the caution, slow down your wheels, yield to pedestrians. I think that's stuff, something like that could be good to place at a reasonable interval on the greenway or some combination of these. I'm not prepared to say they should be like 20 feet apart or 30 feet. So I would, maybe the recommendation from this committee could be that we think it's a good idea and to defer to some of the aesthetics and specifics that perhaps other committees or even have staff come up with a reasonable proposal and then see what folks think about that. I guess I'm asking staff, or what would be helpful guidance? Is that too loose for you guys? What helps you?
Most helpful, I think, would be if you want us to go to that's a clear instruction, develop a proposal, and I'm assuming you mean take it to BPAC, and we're happy to do that. And the alternative if would be, we like this sign, we like that sign, and we could see about a helpful combination maybe based on the direction you see, and then take that for basically have a sign and then implement it.
Great, that's helpful. Yeah, personally, I do like these three signs. They provide a clear instruction to yield to pedestrians. So it kind of indicates some sort of right of way, some sort of awareness that a bicyclist should have on the greenway, especially on a congested portion that has pedestrians. And I do think it would also be helpful to, I guess we could get some sort of endorsement about like what signs we think would be effective, but then also to maybe solicit the opinion of BPAC, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe the motion can be implement based on the feedback of BPAC, so we can get going on the implementation once we get the feedback.
That works for me. Yeah, implement based on the feedback from BPAC. And then one more note, though. I do like these mailers, but I do know it costs money to send one to everyone's house. And I also sometimes wonder, you know, sometimes the message when somebody's on a trail is sometimes more effective when you're right there and it's relevant and there's a sign in front of you. I don't know that this is something we should splurge for, but I'm leaving that for discussion. So I'm not really endorsing mailing these out just because I know that has cost associated. But as far as the other motion, I will make a motion after comments are done to you know, implement as recommended by BPAC, but endorse the overall etiquette signage to be installed.
I think that makes sense to me. I'm not entirely sure to say this. I'm mindful of sensationalizing is not the right word, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want people, you know, I just say the context is that, you know, I think there's been a lot of discussion about e-bike safety, and it seems like a justifiable concern. So, you know, certainly have experienced plenty of people on what are essentially, you know, motorcycles, but are called e-bikes, going very quickly. But there's also plenty of people who are using the trail, using the space as they should. So I guess would be curious for BPAC's recommendation on how to communicate this message without making people of all ages, abilities, shape, sizes uncomfortable, or, you know, feel like, feel unwelcome in the space. So, yeah, I think the first set of signs, I think, struck the good balance. And yeah, I think I'm comfortable with, you know, deferring to, or, you know, endorsing this set of options and referring to BPAC. One of the thought is, I don't know what the timeline is, but if we, during bike to work, bike to wherever day, if that could be a thing that we gather feedback on, if we want to wait that long or we want feedback at that point. Did you want to make a motion?
I do have one more comment or question, kind of related to just thinking about e-bikes, and it's hard to classify these. And I do think I've seen some that I think sometimes blur the line between a e-bike and a electric full throttle motorcycle. And it's not really clear to me, like, what's allowed on the greenway, right? We start to get into this gray area, and then are we, I don't want to put up signs that somebody thinks are applicable just to bikes, when the real, you know, the real problem here might be somebody who's not even, usually it's people who aren't even pedaling it. You can see them really blasting through. They have large capacity batteries on whatever these, you know, scooter, bike, or these motorcycles are. And has there been any thought or issues related to that?
we've done some initial research, but ultimately, in terms of what the solution is, simple, I think almost as we've seen from your initial feedback on the signage, complicated instruction on signs can be challenging. And the good thing about that first set of signs is that it would apply to, first of all, it would likely be combined with the speed limit sign, which is regulatory, and then the etiquette sign of choice probably being combined on the same pole covers essentially no matter what you're riding, whether it's a single uni wheel with an electrical motor or electric prior powered skateboard, whatever it may be, that go slower and behave well. And hopefully that will address the majority of the concerns.
That's helpful. Yeah. And maybe I almost feel bad singling out bikes with this picture of a bike when sometimes some of the vehicles, you know, maybe only resemble bikes. So yeah, maybe something more generic, but maybe the key message actually is just to yield to pedestrians, right? So whatever you are, we're not calling out bikes or pointing a finger at bikes, but something, you know, I'm kind of gravitating now towards the simplicity of just like could we go back to the signs? I think there was one that just said, but it shows the bike yielding to pedestrians. But I do think that's the key message. And but I also feel I don't want to single out bikes too much when it's really, we're trying not to get into all the vehicle classifications. So maybe that's for the more nuanced discussion at the bike ped committee.
As an additional comment, that yield to ped sign is actually California MUTCD. So that's an additional layer of simplicity for what it's worth. And, you know, by using a standardized sign, it simplifies decision making.
That's helpful to know. Maybe we can thicken the pole on the bike to imply a battery is attached to it. Again, we're getting too much in the details.
We're happy to comply.
Okay, so the motion then would be to implement trail etiquette signage in conjunction with the new speed limit signs, and then to defer to bike ped committee on their recommendations for specific signs.
I'll second that. Can we take a roll?
Member Moore?
Aye.
And Chair Solomon?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Excellent. With that, we're moving to 5.4, the Emeryville Clean Cities Program Pilot with Matt.
Good afternoon, Matt Anderson, Environmental Programs Supervisor. I'm here today to discuss our Clean Cities program and a potential pilot for an Adopt-a-Spot program under that initiative. So just a little background about why we're here, talk about what we're currently doing and what the proposed initiative would be. So why we're here, there's always been interest in Emeryville in taking care of our city, beautifying it. We have an existing program for loaning out trash cleanup sticks to residents and groups who are interested in performing their own cleanups. We hold events for residents, for groups. And since COVID, there's been an increase in interest in both those existing programs and also in residents taking care of other pieces of infrastructure and beautifying the city in other ways. This has come both from individual residents, from groups, from committees. VPAC has talked about this before. And so given that increased interest, we decided to take a look at what other possibilities were out there and what we could do to accommodate that. So just a little bit more about what's going on currently. As I mentioned, we have a tool lending program that's quite popular. We have up to approximately 40 trash pickup sticks that folks use, and anyone over a group of five can come borrow those for up to a week, and they perform cleanups all over the city. That multiple groups do that every year. We also run annual events, the shoreline cleanup, the Earth Day cleanup, and the coastal cleanup as well. I think both of you have been attended at least one of those events. The Parks and Rec Committee has recently started doing a Love Our Parks event that may turn into a regular event as well, and that's using our equipment. So it's another increase in interest from the community. And so that's some of the existing work. And there's also been interest in activities such as ice plant removal or maintenance of other areas. And so one program that seemed to fit these type of interests was an Adopt-a-Spot program that is currently operated. Other cities have very similar programs, Berkeley, Oakland, El Cerrito, San Leandro, many cities around. So we identified several pieces of infrastructure that would help our reduce the staff time that was needed to clean and maintain those areas, and that could be appropriate for some of these activities. So when we looked through, we identified adopt a block, adopt a traffic circle, adopt a drain, and then propose a project as some of those items that didn't fit cleanly into the other three. And so overarching adopt a spot that would contain all of those four, just general guidelines for them. It would be adopting for 2 years minimum. And so commitment to go out, generally it's twice a year, things like storm drain, you're going to go out when it rains, hopefully. So it may only be one big rain. Hopefully there's more than that. But also, it's just focused generally on litter abatement, cleanup. We're not trying to get, sharp objects, folks playing in the street with those, things like that. And we are really emphasizing C-Click Fix, as we've been doing for a while, to encourage residents to use that if there are any other issues. These would be allowed, people would apply, and then that would be approved. The process would essentially be simple, very simple, and I'll show you, go through it in just a second, but you read a set of guidelines. There's a very quick application online that's ArcGIS, so you just fill out your information, you send it at the end, and you sign a waiver similar to you do and how you do in the cleanups. And then on our end, we would provide recognition, both through social media, through our webpage that we have mocked up. I'll show you that as well. And then we also provide tools for some of these programs for the beautification. So a little more on each one of those kind of sub programs. The Adopt a Drain program, it would be largely focused on leaf removal. There'd be an automated email that we would draft up a template and send out before the first big rain of every year. It would include a high-vis vest and leaf litter bags that go out to residents upon request. Adopt a block is largely litter abatement focused, and that's just generally keeping the city clean. And that would also include high-vis vest, a trash stick, and then we will have an ArcGIS map online on this application, and you can name your own block, which is quite popular in other cities. Then we'll have adopt a traffic circle, weeding, trash removal, and then also planting of applicable plants, if desired, what can be part of that. Also naming the traffic circle, high-vis vest, and potentially like a small plaque or stake at the end of initial period. And then the proposal project, as I mentioned earlier, is more individual. That would depend on the circumstances, but that would be tailored to the individual location and group. But we would largely be focused on the long-term effects, maintenance, staff capacity, ability to address those type of items. So I'd like to just go through really briefly what that could look like. Let's see how it does pull it up. Right, so pardon me for 1 second. Let's check that. Yeah. All right. So this would be our kind of master landing page for this volunteer program. And it Clean Service or Clean Cities would have two different aspects. As I mentioned, there'd be the tool lending, there'd be the adopt a spot. I'm just going to go through a quick adopt a spot with you now. And this is all run through ArcGIS, which is pretty similar to what the other cities are doing, and including some beautiful pictures of Emeryville here. These are the four different programs here I mentioned, and each of them has kind of a similar but specific set of guidelines to go through. So this is the Adopt a Drain, a little few details about it, but it's really just a very quick three-step process. You just review the guidelines, you apply, you propose your name, and then you sign the waiver, and we receive the proposal. And either provide feedback if, you know, it's an inappropriate name or something else happens that we need to discuss, or just approve it and discuss pickup of supplies and things like that. So just looking at it very briefly, won't spend too much time on it here, but we do have some initial guidelines that have been built out. These are all based on other cities, but it's largely common sense. You know, wearing high visibility clothes, staying out of traffic, I'm working from the curb when possible, not picking up sharp things, doing it before rain events, things like that. And we can provide examples for these or provide these if there's interest in reading through them in detail. And then there's details on C-Click Fix as well, and sending people to that. And then, like I mentioned, the application process is here, and we tried to make it relatively quick and painless because we're trying to encourage folks to apply and be a part of this. So details, kind of just high level on this again, and just fill out your name, your email that you're committing to this, and what your vest size is, and what name you want for your drain. And this is what the GIS layer will look like, and you'll be able to, you know, click your particular drain. It'll pop up what your name is, and you can take it from there. And then once you click submit, it'll take you to the waiver, and you can sign the waiver. So that is a kind of brief overview of what it might look like. Let's see if this actually, there we go. And so we're coming to you today. If you have any questions or you can provide any feedback on that, changes you'd like to see, and then we're asking that you approve implementation of that as a pilot project in Emeryville for the next 2 years under the existing overarching Clean Cities program. I can answer any questions.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. Member Moore, any questions?
Just a few. Thanks for the overview. I think you went into some detail about how does the naming work. So there's not going to be a physical nameplate attached to the block. It's more like it shows up on a digital map. Is that right?
Yeah. So two part. The adopt a traffic circle, we will actually have a small nameplate, and that's because we have our crews go out there once or twice a year, and we need to denote to them whether it's being maintained. We've had issues with, you know, folks accidentally mowing down grasses that are native and were planted intentionally when they looked like weeds, things like that. So denoting to the crew that these are maintained by residents. But for the block themselves, that will be something that is just done digitally. So on the ArcGIS map.
Okay, but it wouldn't show up on like a Google map. It would just be people on that RGS map.
It would be on the main website. So it's not, I kind of showed you the going through the details in the process, but on the overarching, like the high level website, there'll be all of the infrastructure there. So you can see all the storm drains, all of the traffic circles, and all of the blocks that have been adopted. And you can click on any one of them and you'll be able to see the names, and those will be highlighted.
I see. Yeah, it seems like that could be a kind of a popular feature. I guess I'm wondering, like a traffic circle, you could always, I was thinking, why not blocks or drains? And I guess you can always identify those by the intersections or streets. But I guess what makes traffic circles special that they would need their own nameplate?
The traffic circles are special just because of the potential for planting in them. And that's, we're not really asking or talking about planting in any of the other pieces of infrastructure, but for the traffic circles, they're not frequented by the crew, and they sometimes, you know, weeding will be part of it. Planting, if desired by the residents, is an option for those. So that's why we really want to use the plates there just to denote it.
Got it. Okay. Well, one last question. You mentioned the waiver. Does that, so if somebody's like doing work and they trip and fall, the city presumably would not be liable or need to provide like workman's comp insurance or something?
Yes. I'm not a lawyer actually, so don't hold me to that.
Or should we, I guess the question is, should we run, does this need to run by the our city attorney?
No, we have run this through our city attorney, and he is comfortable with the waiver as it's written. It's extremely broad. It is based on Oakland's waiver, which has gone through all of their attorneys as well and been approved. So it's anything you can imagine, I think, is included in that waiver.
Great. Thank you. No further questions.
A couple questions on my side, just so I can better understand. So maybe just like, I'm trying to think of how this differs from what we currently have. So if I right now wanted to either adopt my storm drain or do, you know, propose a program, like what do I have to pay for it? Is there a permit I can do right now, or is it not allowed, or it's very complicated, or what is the status quo, and why? I'm trying to get a sense of how much better this is than the status quo.
Well, status quo, we don't want people in the public right of way because it could potentially be dangerous. And that's something that, you know, our crews do handle normally. And so this would be something that would be coordinating those activities, taking work off of the crew when we know that there are locations that are being handled by residents, you know, taking those leaves up before storms, allowing these drains not to be clogged. And so there are actually locations in Emeryville we've identified that are already doing this. They've essentially adopted their own drain, but this is recognizing some of those areas. They would kind of get a little, you know, recognition for what they're doing for the community, and then also encourage other areas to do the same.
Gotcha. And they will have signed the waiver, so it's we know what's going on, and it's all part of the same system. Okay. And then I think the sort of cleaning ones are simpler to me, but I'm thinking about like planting, you know, if someone wants to pull up some ice plants and replace with another plant, is the idea that, I mean, that would probably require more back and forth, but I assume the city would supply the tools plus plants and would decide which plants go where. Is that accurate, or is that way beyond the scope of what is intended under this program?
Great question. So we talked about this a little bit, and we landed on, there's a couple of organizations that maintain, you know, California native drought tolerant species lists, and so we would use those as baselines to point to. Most of our, at least traffic circles where we've been talking about planting, are largely planted at this point. Mm-hmm. So it would be maintaining or minimal planting. So we weren't anticipating providing additional plants, but if that was feedback that was provided, that's something that we could definitely incorporate into the program. And as for your other question, unfortunately, it's really a case-by-case basis in terms of the tools and the program and what's happening there, what's proposed. But we would work with our, you know, the attorney and our crews to make sure that functions as well as we're able, because we want to get residents and groups involved.
Yeah, no, definitely. That makes sense. And then I imagine that those are kind of more one-time programs, and I'm thinking, you know, they're a business. Well, my former employer, at one point we did like a tree planting volunteer day for Earth Day or something. And I think San Francisco, it was in San Francisco and it had, you know, they, I think that there was some nonprofit that sort of coordinated it. Is that also a kind of thing that, you know, if a business said we are interested in providing, you know, manpower, would they, you know, in order to do a tree planting or something like that, is that, would that fit under this program, or is that a totally different scope?
Oh, I think there's another effort that's working to consolidate kind of all of the volunteer opportunities together. And so that would probably be under a different scope. This is largely just focused on the litter abatement and a little bit, you know, propose a project could get a little bit out of that. But there is like plaques for benches or tree planting, I believe, is actually a specific one that is possible through the city as well.
Okay, great. No, I'm just trying to get a sense of scope. All right, I have no further questions, so maybe let's open for public comment and then move to discussion. Don't see any members of the public in the room. Do we have any online comment cards for the item 5.4?
No public comments on this item.
Okay, great. Well, let's move for discussion. Any further comments or feedback?
Yeah, just one more question, comment came to mind. I'm kind of curious how maybe a program like this could interface at all with C-Click Fix. I really like it because it's kind of like a C-Click U-Fix almost, right? Like we're kind of empowering people whose previous, people who clearly care about the city and want it to look nice. And we're telling them, oh, you can do more than just complain to us, you know, we do get a lot of complaints, which is good. It shows engagement, but now they can do something more productive, more proactive. Like, so say somebody, you know, has adopted a block and somebody like dumps a mattress on the block. I guess that person could, they're probably not going to haul it off themselves, but I guess they could create a C-Click Fix entry. Or I guess, are there any other synergies with C-Click Fix that you guys envision?
You know, we haven't discussed that too far, but I just off the top of my head, there are resources for things like mattresses that have been dumped. There's free pickup or drop off that you can do in location. So perhaps providing some of these folks who have adopted a block, a specific set of resources, you know, beyond what, not beyond what's currently available, but consolidated and available for, you know, cleanup in their area could be one potential way to incorporate that. But I'm open to additional thoughts there.
We can also explore within the C-Click Fix platform any opportunities to post information, since it, like as you've mentioned, likely from people who do care about their city. And then if they see an opportunity to volunteer, we could link them back to our website.
Yeah, I like the direction of that. And another thing, like say somebody, you might even see like a project being proposed within C-Click Fix. Somebody says, oh, these, for example, these ice plants, you know, are invasive. I want to pull them out. You know, can I do that? And you can close the item by just sending them a link to this program where they can detail out their project and we can have a structured way of addressing it. One last question on the dumping question, because oftentimes illegal dumping, bulk item dumping is something that cities frequently contend with. Do we have a special relationship with, I know we have a city contract with the waste hauler, but you know, so oftentimes every property owner has two bulky pickups a year. And probably many of those go unused. Do we have like a pool of bulky pickups that we can like tap into and empower? If you've adopted a block, you can simply deploy, you know, waste management vehicle to go pick up that sofa or mattress, or is that like a bit too far, too much power that we shouldn't be giving individual citizens?
Unfortunately, the way our contract is written, it's per parcel or per account holder. So I don't believe that they'd allow that
pooling
of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Notes for next time when we revisit that contract. Unused bulky pickups can go to the city, perhaps. Okay. Thank you. But overall, I do really like this program, and I support it, and I'll make a motion to endorse the adoption of this program and further fleshing things out.
And I'll second that, but also add, just thank you for this. I think, fits nicely under, what I think is Member Moore's one of your goals, which is making the city more accessible and, you know, making it easier for people to help make their city better. So I'm excited to be able to refer people to the program. And maybe would be curious, you know, a couple months or a year or something, to get some information on how it's going, what's been popular, and you know, yeah, if there are changes that are required. I know you all are always thinking about that. But I think that this will be appreciated and hopefully make your lives easier and the city nicer. So with that, we have a motion, we have a second. Let's take a roll.
Moore?
Aye.
Chair Solomon?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Wonderful. Thank you, Matt. Okay, with that, we are going to move to our information items. So Sea Level Rise planning update with Violet, which I think is this a continuation from last time? Okay. I've been waiting on the edge of my seat.